the Retirement Resource, Episode 18, Five Common Ways People Lose Their Retirement. Welcome to the Retirement Resource, the one place committed to providing the information, resources, and tools you need to navigate the often complex world of retirement planning with confidence and clarity. We're going to discuss both the financial and non-financial aspects of a successful retirement, and we're going to have fun. I'm Bo Henderson, and today we're going to talk about five common ways people lose their retirement. So what we're talking about are things that happen, pitfalls, that can often lead to not having the outcome or not having the results or not really doing as good as we possibly could in retirement. So let's just start at the top and go through these. This is a little more of a how-to, maybe more of a checklist to see if we've addressed each of these areas. So right off the bat, let's start with number one. One of the biggest ways people lose their retirement or mess up their retirement or don't do as well as they possibly can in retirement is simply not having a plan or not having a strategy is probably actually a better way to put that. And by not having a strategy, what I mean is we just are working one day until the day we retire and we've not really prepared and we've not really transitioned to be in the best shape possible. And just ask yourself, we know this, do I have a retirement strategy that I feel confident in, that I understand, that I feel is going to accomplish the things I would like to accomplish? Or am I just hoping things turn out all right and I'm really not addressing that and getting the clarity I need? So not having a strategy is one of the biggest things that where you hear pitfalls of people losing a lot of the money, a lot of unnecessary money in the market, or people paying fees they didn't realize they were even paying, tax consequences that could have been avoided, money left on the table with Social Security that simply occurs in a lot of cases by not having a strategy. So a question comes up: how do we get a strategy? What do we do about that? Really, what you want to do is the period of time, whether it's 5, 10, 15 years before retirement, you want to start transition planning as opposed to the accumulation planning you did during the majority of your working years. Start transitioning in a good 10, 15-year window before you actually retire. Now, you might say, Bo, I'm retiring in 5 years. I'm retiring in 3 years. I'm retiring next year. And what I'm going to say to that is, we need to transition fast, but we need to transition today. We need to start that transition process today. And don't be one of those casualties of people that start dealing with their retirement, making those decisions once they're already there. And a lot of times that's where you get caught, or we've really limited the options and flexibility we have to put you in the best position possible. So have a strategy, number one. Another thing that comes up, and it comes up a lot, there was a research done that I saw recently that said 23% of people over the course of their working life borrow money from their retirement plan, borrow money from their 401k or the retirement plan at work. And the issue with that, there's a couple of issues with that, and it should be an absolutely last resort. And by last resort, I mean to avoid a bankruptcy or foreclosure, very last resort, true emergency. And here's the reason why is, well, the first reason is that while that money is borrowed, it's not doing the biggest benefits you have during your accumulation years. You're missing out on the compound interest on that chunk of money while it's out. And here's the one that really trips people up that they don't catch is that when we pay back that money, when we pay back our loans, we're going to pay it back with after-tax dollars. So that money that we're paying it back with will be taxed. And then when we pull that money out in retirement later, it'll be taxed again. So what we're doing, we're not only losing the compound interest by borrowing against our retirement accounts, we're also being double taxed and oftentimes not even realizing it. So if it's a thing where it's, hey, I want to go buy a car, so I'm going to borrow against my 401k because I have money there and I can pay myself back, not necessarily a good idea. And just know that we're losing out on the compounding and we're being double taxed. And I think if we have those two things in mind, we might truly use it the way we should for only a true emergency. The purpose of a retirement plan is to create an asset that creates retirement income, right? So let's not borrow against our retirement plan. The third thing I run across a lot that happens are required minimum distributions in retirement. And at age, the year you turn age 70 and a half, you have to take out a percentage, roughly 3.6% when you start at age 70 and a half, of your IRAs, 401ks, your qualified accounts. And if you do not take those out, or if you fail to take those out, or if you just forget, it's a 50% penalty. The harshest penalty that there is on these kind of retirement accounts, these qualified accounts. And all the time we see it come in the office is somebody did not take their RMDs, and now they have a tax issue. And what we want to do is make sure that when we're doing that transition planning we talked about earlier, we're accounting for these RMDs. What's the money we're going to have to take? When are we going to have to take it? How's it going to affect our income plan? And how's it going to affect the tax situation? Because that's another thing that RMDs can do to trip up retirees. And say you have a large 401k, and you have income from pensions, Social Security, and other places, and you don't need your RMDs. That happens a lot. People don't actually need the requirement distributions, but you have to take them. Now, in a very large 401k or IRA, that distribution that you're forced to take, if there's no pre-planning done and restructuring in that transition, what can happen is that chunk of money that you have to take as a requirement minimum distribution can actually kick you up in another tax bracket. So what we want to do is avoid that at all costs. And with some pre-planning, a lot of times what we can do is reduce the amount of those RMDs by shifting money from the pre-tax accounts into things like Roth IRAs that aren't going to require you to take those distributions and you're not going to be taxed on. So RMDs, understanding RMDs, and again, use this as a checklist. Do I have a strategy I feel good and confident about that's clear to me that I understand? Second one, if I've thought about borrowing from my 401k, or if I have in the past, okay, it's in the past, but let's not do that again. Let's not use that like a savings account, because it's really not like a savings account, because you're losing out in two ways with the compound interest and the double taxation. RMDs, do I have a plan and a strategy for my RMDs? And two things we've got to be cognizant of. Do I have a system in place to make sure that I don't miss them and be hit by that 50% penalty? And the second thing is, am I aware of the tax consequences of my RMDs and what that's going to be? And you can, when you're working with a financial advisor or you're working with yourself and really know how to model and project your retirement income plan, you can figure out in a very close range of how to address these RMDs, what they're going to be, what pieces of income they're going to account for in your retirement plan. So deal with that. Another way people mess up their retirement is they make a huge bet in one asset, or they put all their eggs in one basket, so to speak. And the biggest example I see is somebody accumulating most of their money in a 401k or a retirement account. And when it comes to retirement, we have different needs and different roles we need to accomplish, different things we need to fulfill. Namely, we have to have a liquidity plan. How much liquidity do we need to adjust to have when emergencies come up, things outside of the budget? We need an income plan. How do we best utilize our assets to create the income we need in retirement? We need a growth plan. Is there a percentage of our assets that we need to set aside to utilize for long-term growth that we might need to re-usher back into the plan when inflation catches up with us, or if the emergencies come up, such as healthcare expenses, long-term care events? So we really need to have a strategy that addresses all of those things and not just have one investment such as a 401k that's been in mutual funds. That's what we understand. That's what we know. That's how we accumulate these assets. Because if we don't separate the jobs or separate it out into different buckets, what ends up happening is the tools that are best to create income or the investments that are best to create income aren't always the best long-term growth investments. And conversely, the best investments to position us for the most long-term growth for that specific purpose aren't always the most reliable to be able to draw income out of, which we're going to have to draw consistent, reliable income in retirement. So having all your eggs in one basket is oftentimes where you'll see something like a market correction people are drawing income in retirement, and then the double dip or the double effect of not only pulling money out, pulling it out of an account that's been depleted or that's pulled back, it can take a 30-year retirement plan and reduce it to a 15 to 20-year plan in the matter of a couple of days. So we really need to make sure that we have clarity and address the things that we need to accomplish in retirement. What are the goals? How do we have the right allocation of our asset as a percentage for liquidity, income, and growth? And here's the thing. You might ask, Bo, what's a rule of thumb? There's not a rule of thumb until we have clarity around what are your expenses, what are your sources of income, such as pensions, Social Security, other investments, real estate income. What are the components? What are your expenses in retirement? What are the goals we're trying to accomplish? When we have a real clarity around those items, then what we can do is we can come up with the right allocation of how your asset needs to be divided amongst liquidity, income, growth, and then the other goals we have in retirement. So big mistake is making a big bet in any one basket, and we want to avoid that at all costs. And I told you I had five common ways people lose their retirement. And the last one might seem pretty self-explanatory, but oftentimes people run into the pitfall of not doing the best they can do in retirement or not doing getting the best use of their money, being as effective and as efficient as they possibly could by not asking for help. And that's the fifth thing. And research has shown over and over again, studies and surveys show that people actually perform better when they have a team, when they work with a team. And that can be a financial advisor, that can be a retirement coach, that can be your CPA, that can be your accountant, that could be a health insurance professional. That whole team, when you have a team and you're willing to ask for help, and don't try to go it alone in retirement, typically that can help. If you build the right team, that can help avoid a lot of these pitfalls that we talked about today. And if you ever need any help with any of these things or have any questions about a specific situation or your specific situation, or when we talked about today not having a plan that you feel confident about, that you feel clear about, that you feel like you really understand and you have peace of mind around. When you ask yourself that question, that's where you stand, go to richlifeadvisors.com and let me know your questions. Let me know if you have any specific questions, and I'll get back to everybody and I'll answer them there. But let's do everything we can possibly do to avoid these common mistakes that people lose their retirement. Because here on the Retirement Resource, I want listeners of the Retirement Resource, this community, to be the people that avoid these common mistakes. Now, next time on the Retirement Resource, we're going to be talking about how to start your grandkids off on the right foot financially. So imagine if somebody helped us get in the right frame of mind, started some good habits and savings when we were young, when we were 5, 10, 15 years old. And that's what we're going to talk about on the next edition of the Retirement Resource. See you soon.